morning, everyone. It's good to be here this morning. This morning I want to look at a verse. It says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man." That'll be my title this morning. So we've been studying in Proverbs in our Bible study group, and it's interesting how there's certain verses that come back to you from time to time and kind of lodge in your memory. And this is one verse that was going through my mind some lately. It's Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. And it says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." We know the man who wrote the book of Proverbs was very wise. But that's not the reason why we don't look at the men who wrote the scriptures. The reason the scriptures are important to us is because God used these men to be vessels for him. And the scriptures are the words of God given to men through divine inspiration. And they're intended for us today. However many years later it is, we can still learn from these things, and they're still true, just as true as they've always been. So it's interesting, this verse lines up very closely with the teaching that Jesus gave to his disciples. In the New Testament. But before we look at that, I just want to consider this principle and some examples of how this works in an earthly sense. So in this life, in the daily choices that we make, and we see others that make choices, and when we make choices tending toward instant gratification or doing something on an impulse because it feels good in the moment without considering the result of it, I believe that's part of what this verse is talking about. Consider something like gambling. You know, it's very tempting to see an opportunity that looks like, you know, if this goes right for me, it'll promise me some instant gain with pretty much nothing involved in it for me as far as the cost. It'll just be all gain for me. And we know that it usually doesn't work that way. It's usually a lie. And if we get started on those type of things, it'll end in addictive and destructive habits. Another thing I was thinking of, I think Brother Matt's going to be sharing on social media today, but this is another thing that a lot of people think they just can't do without. Once you start getting involved in that, you know, it's very, very easy to just become addicted. Yet, everyone that has ever been willing to do an honest study on it, they always come back with negative results, negative statistics of where it leads and the effects that it has on you. Anyone who looks at it honestly finds that. But it's easy to convince ourselves that's something that we need. We can't really do without it. I'm looking forward to hearing more on that today, because I think the more we know, the more responsible we are, and if we're willing to listen to our consciences, we can grow in those areas. So there's some examples of men in the Old Testament that display this principle very clearly. So we see in the book of Genesis, we see Lot choosing when Abraham gave him the choice between which direction to go with his flocks and his herds, and which part of the land he was going to claim and settle in. We see him choosing the easiest path. He chose the land that he thought looked like it was fertile and lush, and that it would be good for his own gain. And he also chose to head in the direction of Sodom, a very prosperous city. And it all seemed like a very handy setup for him in the direction that he wanted to go. And yet we know how it ended in disaster. It was a terrible ending in the ways of death for him and his family. And through all that, Lot became the father of the Moabites and the Ammonites, who were both people that were destined to be at odds with God's people and at war with them. Jonah is another one that chose the easy way out. God called him to preach to a wicked city that was very scornful and did not follow God. And that was a hard thing for anyone to do. I don't think we can look at that story and think that it's easy to see that Jonah did the wrong thing, but I don't know that any of us has ever been close to a situation like that, going into that kind of opposition. And so he chose to try and escape that call. And we know all that ended, I'm sure. We know that God did spare Jonah's life and he was able to go on and complete that mission, but I'm sure at the time when he was cast into the sea, I'm sure he felt that he was in the ways of death. I don't know that he thought there was much hope for him after that. So that's another story that did not end in a good way. And even if we look at the life of King Solomon, the man who wrote Proverbs, who wrote this verse, the man that God had granted the greatest wisdom of any man in the entire world, he chose to follow a path that appealed to his earthly nature without considering the consequences, and his life ended in a bad place as well. We don't know where his relationship with God was, but his choices and choices of his own personal fulfillment and a luxurious life and all these things just led him down a wrong road. So all these men that we looked at, they all chose the way that seemed right to them as earthly men, and they found that it indeed led to destruction. Now, I just want to look at how Jesus' teachings line up with this verse. So we can turn to Matthew chapter 7. There's a few verses there I want to look at. So this is where Jesus went into a mountain with his disciples, and he was teaching them about his kingdom and just a lot of different concepts of the life of Christ that we're to follow and the ways that he wants us to act and to relate on this earth. And toward the end of his teaching here, let's start in verse 13, we'll read 13 and 14 of Matthew chapter 7. Jesus says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." So here, Jesus says practically the same thing as that verse from Proverbs, that if we choose the easier route in the wide road, that it will end in destruction. So I just want to break this down a little bit. It says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate." And I believe if we're to enter into that straight gate, there's going to be indications in our life that that is happening. I don't think we can enter in by accident or that we won't realize that we're doing it. I think if we choose that road, the vast majority around us is going to be counter to our direction. They're going to be in opposition to us. If we don't feel any opposition or resistance, and if our flesh doesn't feel pushed back or our desires crossed, I think we can be pretty sure that we're not entering in at the straight gate. It's not intended to be easy. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. I think this is pretty plain that if we're following the world around us, there's going to be a lot of other people doing the same thing with us. We know that the world is headed for destruction, and yet it's so easy with, especially today, with the access we have to the culture around us and being able to keep up with everything that's going on in the world. It's easy to align our lives with that, sometimes without even thinking about it. It just comes naturally. And that is one of the clear signs of being on the broad road is if the majority around us is headed in the same direction. Jesus says, "Few there be that find it," speaking of the narrow way. And another thing we need to remember is, yes, the vast majority, according to the scriptures here, the vast majority around us is headed in the wrong direction. And it's easy to try and see the good in everything, you know, see the good in those around us and say that, you know, maybe they're not so bad and we're really not that much different. But this is not the only place that Jesus speaks of there being few that are truly following him. On down in the chapter here in verse 21, Jesus says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." So we need to remember that just because someone speaks of Christ and speaks of following God, that's not the most important part. Their lives must line up with that. Now Jesus says in verse 14 here, "Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." When he says "because" there, he says before that, "Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." I believe he's saying there's the reason there are so many on the broad way is because the narrow way is straight, and it's going to be difficult, and it's definitely the harder choice. And we are given that option. We are given the choice. We get to decide which path we walk on. And because the one way is so much easier, the majority is just naturally going to take that way. But we do have the encouragement that there will be a few that are on the right way, and we need to take our place with them, and we need to band together and travel down that road together so we can be an encouragement to one another and build each other up so that we can walk more like Christ. So let's be careful not to let the easy choices become a pattern in our lives, because they will lead to destruction and lead us into the ways of death. But let's let God's Spirit direct our choices, even if they're hard. There's a song that I want to sing. I'm not sure how well we know it, but I think we'll give it a try. Number 526 in Hymns of the Church. And the second verse of this song really, really speaks, I feel, to what I was trying to share here this morning. It says, from subtle love of softening things, from easy choices, weakenings, not thus are spirits fortified, not this way went the crucified. From all that dims thy Calvary, O Lamb of God, deliver me. So this is a prayer that we would not give in to the easy choices in this life and follow our fleshly desires, but that we could have our hearts turned toward Christ and that we could choose the way that he walked. So let's sing this song, number 526. From prayer that asks that I may be sheltered from winds that beat on thee, from fearing when I should aspire, from faltering when I should climb higher, from silken self, O captain free, thy soldier who would follow thee. Okay. We'll sing the first verse again here. From prayer that asks that I may be sheltered from winds that beat on thee, from fearing when I should aspire, from faltering when I should climb high, from silken self, O captain. God bless the rest of the service.